doing that. There was such a thing as being sung in the rapture. I think that would work. Amen. So it's good to have my grandson Leland with us tonight. I have to tell him that he's coming. We're going to be the same for us. I just scared him. He might not come back. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Amen. Let's open the Bible. We'll still do chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Start at verse 29. Luke chapter 21, verse 29 through 36. This is Jesus speaking, and he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily, verily, I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we just pray now as we turn to your word tonight, you would just come now, Lord, and just inhabit, Lord, the word. We know that that's what you dwell in. You're in your word. You're in your church when they believe your word. But, Lord, it's your word that matters. And so, Lord, we just pray tonight that you would come and quicken these things. Lord, it is your word, and this is your sheep. And so we ask, God, that you would just speak to their hearts, inspire them, give them something, Lord, that will help them in the days ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about the absolute. The absolute. So I looked up the word absolute in the dictionary, and so it says absolute is something that is free from any restrictions or conditions. It's not constrained by anything. It's also something that is independent of some or all relations. So it stands on its own. It doesn't have to have support or backup or anything like that. It's something that is perfect or complete. And also something that is without limits. And so that's what Webster says about it. I'm going to read a couple of quotes here tonight as we go through this. And this quote comes from a sermon called The Absolute. Brother Brand preached this many times throughout different years, I suppose, there. But this particular time that I'm reading is the time where he went down to Houston to save some people from being executed on capital punishment. And so I'll talk about that a little bit in a little bit. So, an absolute. Brother Bram says, I have chosen, and keep in mind, he's going down there to speak to try and keep some people from being executed on capital punishment. He said, I have chosen this text a while ago sitting in my hotel room because I think that now we need something positive, some absolute that we can hold on to and know that it's true. In crucial hours like this, we must have something that we are positive, that's right, something that we can hold to know how the case is going. Now, according to Webster, absolute in itself is unlimited in power, and primarily is an ultimate, and an ultimate is an amen. It's the absolute. That's the end, and that's everything. Now, every great achievement that's ever been in the world has been tied to some sort of an absolute. You cannot do anything unless there is something that you can hold to. When a young man is going to get married to a young woman, he must know the character of this young woman, or the young woman must know the character of the young man, something that she can hold to. Will this man be a just man? Will he make me the right type of husband? Will this woman give to me in life what I expect out of her, loyalty and so forth? And then it's got to be somewhere that they can base their vows upon, knowing that there is something that will hold. And that's the reason we bring them to the church and to the Word of God to get this absolute tie. So he's talking about when they get married, you bring them to the house of God before ministers and so forth. So he says, every great achievement that ever happened in the world has been tied to some sort of an absolute. You can't do anything unless there's something that you can hold to. So this is just a little definition that Brother Branham gave of an absolute. And so we realize in life there has to be absolutes for us. And so, as he just said there at marriage, you know, when you're going to get married, you have to have confidence in the person you're married. And just like Brother Daniel was talking back there a while ago, you know, you have to have confidence in one another. You got to communicate. You don't communicate, you don't have confidence and trust, then you don't have very much to go on. And so in marriage, you have to have an absolute. And that is that you love and you believe in the person that you're going to marry, and then you. And so then you've got something you can base your vows on, because you know that you're going to enter into this commitment, and you believe that you can enter into that commitment based upon the absolute of their love for you and their commitment to you and yours to them. Otherwise, you have nothing to stand on. And so, as I said, any great thing that ever happens in the world, it's because there's something tied to it. You look at people who have done great things, and they've got a past and a background that propelled them and made it possible for them to do that. They've had an absolute of something that meant something to them in their life, and that's what they worked up off of, and it made a difference in their lives. And so Brother Graham talks about in a ball game, you have to have an absolute in a baseball game, and that absolute is the umpire. He's the guy that calls the plays, calls the shots, right? And so Brother Ben said, you have to have that, because if you don't have that, if you don't have somebody that's the ultimate voice, then everybody's going to be saying, no, that he was safe, or no, he was out, or everybody's going to be fussing and arguing. And he said this, he said, you wouldn't even be able to have a ball game. You wouldn't even, because there'd be so much fussing, fighting, confusion, because you don't have an absolute. So you have to have someone that calls the play, and that's the umpire. And what he calls, that's it. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks and says. If he calls it a certain way, that's the law of the game. Is that right? Yes. That's the law of the game. And so Brother Ben used that example. He talked about traffic lights. A traffic light is an ultimate. It's an absolute, right? If you didn't have that, what would you have? Right. A bunch of confusion and wrecks and traffic jams. Right, so that you have to have absolutes in your life. You have to have an absolute there on the road, so that when it says you stop and the other guy goes, then that's the absolute. And if you try to get around that absolute, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Right. And if you don't have that, and if people don't obey it, then you have chaos. You have traffic wrecks. You have jams and all kinds of stuff. So you see, just about anywhere you look in life, you have to have an absolute, something that you're going to live yourself by and you're going to act by based upon that, and not something else. Because there's plenty of things out there to try to get you to live different ways and different things. Like for a traffic light, you might, well, I'm late to work, I got to go anyway. And you see people all the time As a matter of fact, I've noticed over the last 10, 15 years, people just more and more, you know, when the light changes, they just keep coming, right? And it just gets worse and worse and worse. What are they doing? They're pulling away from an absolute. And it causes all kinds of wrecks and chaos and so forth. And not only that, it just hinders their own convictions to follow something which is right when they ignore those things. So it's just kind of like your conscience. You know, when you ignore your conscience, you're doing damage to your conscience. And so we have to have these absolutes in our life. And so, you know, we look out here now and we see an age that's basically in a lawless age. You remember the Laodicean age is rights of the people. Everybody wants it their way. Yeah. So because everybody wants it their way, then they want to be the absolute, and everybody else wants to be an absolute. And so it's chaos. Everybody wants it. You know, if I want it my way, then where does that leave you? And if you want it your way, where does that leave me? Right. So Brother Branham said, you know, they say, well, God's going to judge the world by his church. He said, well, which church? Because if he does it by Baptist, then the Methodists are out. If he does it by the Catholic, then the Pentecostals are out. Right? Yeah. So he can't have a people that's, you know, just any different ways or to be an absolute. You have to have something that is rock solid that you can base your life on. You can base your marriage on. You can base what you do day to day on. You can base your faith on. Right. It has to be absolute. That you see as being absolute. So Brother Branham preaches this sermon there at Absolute in Houston, Texas. And so let me explain just a little bit about what was going on here. So, and most of you are familiar with this, that years, about 12 years before this, Brother Branham was there in Houston, Texas, and that's where the pillar of fire became visible. They took the picture above his head. He had a man that was a Baptist minister that was in opposition to him and was making a publicity stunt out of it, hired some photographers to come in there and take pictures and just to make us fun and so forth out of Brother Branham, the fact he preached divine healing. And of course, when it all happened, pillar of fire became visible, and the very photographer that was hired by this opposition to take pictures, well, none of the negatives turned out except this one that had the pillar of fire hanging over Brother Ram's head. That was the only one out of the whole roll that they come out. And so, because you can't, you know, bypass God or whatever. But this one of these men that was in opposition to Brother Branham, 12 years later, it was his son, actually it was a stepson, who had committed a crime. I think he killed some people or something. It was kind of a bad crime, him and some other people, whatever. And he was up to be executed. And so somebody come up with the idea to call Brother Branham and ask him if he would come down and maybe speak to the parole board and so forth. And they had a lot of people praying. And so it turned out they had a big, gigantic prayer meeting. A lot of people was praying around the nation, and they had a big prayer meeting down there. And Brother Branham comes down, and he speaks to the people there at this meeting, this prayer meeting, and this is the sermon that he preached to them when he spoke to them. And so I want you to look at the example. So the very man that was making fun of Brother Branham, his own stepson, that now is going to be up to be executed, and Brother Branham could have said, now we'll get even with him now, make fun of me. That's not what he did. Brother Branham said, if you listen to the sermon, he said, when they called me and got in touch with me about this, and I knew that if I didn't do something, if I didn't come down here and try to help out, he wouldn't be able to live with himself. Yeah. The son of a man that made fun of him. So, you know, because the scripture said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And this is the right attitude for Christians to have is, listen, if somebody's done you wrong, don't you have bad attitudes toward them. You pray for them, and you pray until your heart feels right toward them, because if there's any vengeance that's happened, let God take care of it. That way we know it's done right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so we should do that. And I don't care if it's just somebody that says something wrong, calls you a name, does something, costs you a lot of money, whatever it is, you pray till you have love in your heart for that person and leave it up to God. And so that's why God said, listen, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I'll do the repaying. And so yet, so much of the time in ourselves, we want to pay back or so forth. And so here's a perfect example of what a Christian should be. Brother Bam went to bat, drove, canceled hunting trip out in Arizona, and drove all the way down there to Texas to speak at this and to have this prayer meeting with these people and to do this, and then turn around and have to drive all the way back that night, during the night, all the way back to Tucson. That's right. So what an example. God didn't leave us in this age without an example showing us, here's what a real Christian should be and act like. And so we have it before us as to how we should live, because it was expressed to us. And so God said, vengeance is mine. So we want to make sure that we let him take care of those things. So I wanted to read another little quote here. This one was on my phone, I didn't print out. But this is how Brother Branham thought about this. And you know, people could stand there and say, well, wait a minute. This young man, he committed a crime. The law says they've judged him and said, well, he needs to be executed. And people could stand back and say, execute him. But this is not the attitude Brother Branham had. Because here's the thing. You want mercy for your mistakes, right? And that man, he deserves an opportunity for mercy also. And if God should grant that to him, we want him to have it, right? And we want everybody to have mercy. And so people could have been there that night and said, well, I'm not going to pray for this guy. He did wrong and he needs to suffer for it. But the idea is that we should want mercy for everyone, no matter who they are or what they've done. We should want mercy for them, and if we don't, our heart is not right. Yeah. Amen? So this is Brother Branham's prayer as he got through reading scriptures and beginning to preach this. I want you to listen to what he said, and I'll point out what it is I want you to take notice to. He said, let us bow our heads just a moment for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to thee for mercy. And that's truly, Lord, why we are here tonight, is to ask mercy. We would not ask this if we did not have faith to believe that it would be granted to us. Man has flown across the country and prayers are going up everywhere to thee that the lives of these two that we're earnestly interceding for tonight may be spared, Lord. We would ask for strength for the mothers and fathers of these young people. And as we understand that this young man has turned his life to thee and wants to serve thee, and as we heard one of the speakers say that he wanted to become a minister of the gospel, I pray, God, that you'll grant this opportunity to the young fellow. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse our hearts from evil thoughts and whatever would be in our way that would hinder our prayer from being answered for these people. As we have read thy word, and we know both heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word shall not fail. And so, Brother Bam, what I want to point out there, he knew that people could be standing there, sitting there, with evil and their evil thoughts and saying, this guy deserves this or whatever. And Brother Bram says, forgive us of our sins and cleanse our hearts from evil thoughts and whatever would be in our way that would hinder our prayer from being answered for these people. Amen? Mm-hmm. That we would have the right attitude, because your attitude can hinder, right? We know that. I just thought that was really, really neat. And so, you know, in times of desperation, you need an absolute. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know I've mentioned it, I think Brother Branham talked about this too, you know, we need to be desperate, and you can't throw yourself into desperation, but things happen and throw you into desperation. And I'll say this, that if you really could stand back and look at everything God has done in this day, the fact that he's brought this message, brought things to life, and doing what he's doing, it should throw all of us into desperation. We should have a continual desperation. We realize the world is designed and made in such a way to short-circuit that. Keep us busy. Keep our mind occupied. Keep us whatever, so that we don't. But we should have desperation in our heart because of the nearness and everything that's going on. And so we need absolute in times of desperation. And Brother Bram said something, an absolute, something that supersedes the laws of man or the judgment of man. And like in that case there, the judges or the people that were pronouncing what was going to happen to these young people the next day or so after this meeting. And Brother Bram said that to have an absolute, something you can trust in, something you can rely on that you know is going to come through, not going to fail. An absolute, something that you could go to that surpasses all laws of man. Something that you can go to that can change the heart of kings, change the heart of judges, change the heart of people. Something that can go beyond the limits of physics or the limits of nature. Something that can go beyond reason, right? You don't want to just throw yourself into reason because you know what it's going to do. You don't want to throw yourself into some man-made system because you know it's going to fail. So desperation and hours of desperation like this situation, they knew that they had to throw themselves, as Brother Ram talked, he said, I appreciate the attorneys that have worked on this and the men that have put forth money to help this family. I appreciate that, but, right, we got to go to God, got to have an absolute that's beyond man, beyond attorneys, beyond physical limits, just to something that we know will work and not fail us. And so, I agree with him. Brother Bam tells us, he gives an example. He says, an absolute is like the North Star. And, you know, as you look out in the nighttime, all the stars are moving except one, the North Star. And I guess it's directly above the North Pole. And so as everything's turning, it just stays in one spot. And you know, if you know your directions, and it's surprising to me how many people might not, but you know that if you're facing north, you're looking north, then you know all the other directions, right? East to your right, west to your left, south to your back. And so Brother Bram was saying that as long as you can see that North Star, then you can orient yourself, you can guide yourself, you know what to do, because that tells you what direction you're going, where you can reference everything to that. And so as long as that's right, then you can make right decisions upon that North Star, because it's something that never changes. And that's the whole concept about this. You want an absolute, something that doesn't change, not doesn't change when they vote on something different at the headquarters of your church or whatever, not just because somebody feels different, wants to preach something different, whatever, but you want something that's solid, that's an absolute, that'll never change. That's what you want. And so as long as you can look at something that's constant, then you can reference your life and decisions of life and which direction you go in life based upon that unchanging North Star. And so, because it's always there. And so we realize and understand that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is our North Star. It's constant, doesn't change. We can always rely on the Word of God to be exactly what it is. If you feel like it's different, it's your feelings. Because this Word is right. It's the only thing in this earth that is right. It's the Word of God. And so, because it is the North Star, and so when we would position ourselves to God, to His Word, as long as we stay positioned to that, then we can make decisions in life that are correct based upon that. That's the whole concept that he's given it. So that's why we say so often, you know, as I mentioned the other day, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And you realize in yourself, people aggravate you, they you get mad at them, and so you're not going to be able to treat people the way you should if you don't have something of God going on inside your life. Because it's... But so you have to have your vertical relationship with God on center, and then everything else can now be done right with your fellow men. And on this hangs all the law and the prophets. And so that's the same thing as a North Star. Stay focused to the Word of God, and now you know how to orient every decision in your life. And every decision in your life should be based upon an absolute, right. Especially major decisions. And that's one of the things that's such a problem. In you know, with everything and the way the world is, it keeps you all distracted, and people don't stop and think about the decisions they make. We should always examine what a decision is, how it fits with the Word of God, whether it fits or not. And to know the will of God in your life, like Brother Branham, you know, that's one of the hardest things to know, is to know the will of God in your life. But first, the three things to do. One is there a word for it? Right? And then the second one is has God put the desire in your heart to do it? And the third one is, does he make a way for you to do it? And if those three things line up, that's the perfect will of God. And so, but we should, everything we should do, like I quoted, I think, Sunday, he's the principal theme of the Bible, and therefore he should be the principal thing of everything we say, do, or think. Everything we do, when we have a conversation, I sit around, I hear it, even, you know, people, even some of them here in this church, and I hear them talking, and I'm like, they are not orienting, that comment is not being oriented to the Word of God. They say, well, I think it's okay, such and such and such like that, and there's no way that's right with the Word of God. So, let me encourage people, always take your thoughts, your actions, everything back to the Word, because that's the only thing that you can truly stand on and have an absolute in your life to. And so, your relationship with God will govern your relationship with man. And your relationship with God should govern everything you say, do, think, your actions, and everything. Brother Bam said it's like an anchor. Absolute is like an anchor. And so, in a ship, he also said it makes you peculiar. And this is another quote here. He says, now, if in your life you have an absolute, you do things ordinarily you would not do. Especially if you have a God-centered life. The God-centered life makes a person do things that ordinarily they would not do. Very odd, peculiar. Why is a Christian life so odd and peculiar? It's because that they are looking to God's Word, which is almost foreign to the world today. So if you have a God-centered life, what we were talking about, looking to the North Star, looking to an absolute of the Word of God, it makes you peculiar. It makes you act different, do different, and in a world where it's almost pretty much unheard of. And it's sad when you talk to people, religious people, and they have no revelation in their life. They're just going through some intellectual something they've been told. They have no revelation, and it's sad. But it makes you a very odd and peculiar person if you do stay with the Word of God and hang true to the Word of God. Brother Bam said it's like an anchor. You know, you look at people and you know, they look at Christians and they don't understand what makes them tick. Why are they, well, what are they doing, you know? And so, but it's like a ship and it's out on the ocean and needs an anchor. When storms of life come, you need something that you can fortify yourself and anchors yourself to. And so, you can't see what the anchor's hooked to. That rope or chain or whatever goes down in the water, and pretty soon you can't see. You don't know what's down there. But they cast that anchor down there, and it's after just a little bit, that anchor will grab hold of something. And it'll hold them, so they don't, in the storm, don't get tossed away. And so, by faith, you hang to something that everybody else, nobody can see. Right? But you're hanging to something off out in that realm out there that's bigger and greater than the storm. And that's the whole concept there. So it's like an anchor. And it holds in times of storm. And somebody might say to you, Why do you carry all this great big huge heavy extra weight in your ship? Don't you know that if you didn't have that in there, you could probably get better miles out of your sails or whatever? Why do you carry that huge chunk of metal in there? Right?
Yeah.
Might look like, and that's what people do. Why are you like you? Why do you do what you do? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you, you know, get alone to yourself at lunchtime or, you know, whatever you're doing that's falling? They think you're peculiar, mm-hmm. right? And to them, it's just a big, huge weight. Being a Christian is just, I don't have time for that. It's like a huge something. It's holding me back. I can't live life to the fullest. But you realize in a time of storm, that's why you pack that extra weight with you.
Right.
You pack that experience in your life so that when storms do come, you have something that you can hook into that'll hold you in a time of storm.
Yeah.
And so we know that. Brother Bam talked about this in this sermon. He talked about this woman named Emily Post. How many knows who she is? Mary does. Aunt Mary. She does. So she was a writer or whatever, and she became the authority on etiquette. In the sermon, Brother Ram says, she became the authority on table manners, but probably more than just table manners, right? Etiquette is what the history, you know, when you look her up. But he said, she is the absolute on table manners. He said, if she tells people, you must eat your beans with a knife, then that's it. Everybody follows that because she has been accepted as the authority and the absolute for table manners. He said if she says drink your coffee out of a saucer and sup it as you do, no matter how sloppy it sounds, then that's still the absolute because everybody bowed to it because they taken her to be the absolute to table manners. And so, you know, street light, you know, an absolute. It's accepted among most people. You've got to obey the street lights or the street sign. And so absolutes in your life, just like this, it's something you look to and you accept that to be the guide for your life on the whatever it is you're talking about. And so, because, you know, this woman somehow convinced everybody she knew what etiquette was, and I certainly wouldn't pass that one. But she was accepted for that, and so she became the absolute. And whatever she told, that was the way people did it. Put your, you know, place your stuff around the plates and forks and spoons. There's a certain way you're supposed to do that. You know that, right? I wouldn't know what it is, but they say they're, you know. And so that's why I don't like going to fancy places, because then I show my ignorance on all that. But there's a way you're supposed to do it. And so... So I said all that just to get to this, and I just already mentioned a little bit. You have to choose to let that absolute be your absolute.
Mm-hmm.
And in your Christian walk, God is not going to take away your free moral agency.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to force you to make a decision. You have to make a decision yourself that you're going to let the Word of God be the thing that you make decisions by and you're guided by every day based upon the Word. That's what you have to do. And so, you have to make that choice. And if you don't, you don't have to. God's not going to force you. But look at the consequences, like we've already said. Look at the consequences when people don't follow an absolute. It becomes chaos. And so, our lives would be chaos if we don't have an absolute in our lives. So, look at what happens when people don't follow absolute. Here we are in Laodicea, people's right, and all the denominations, they have their own ideas of what they think is right. Everybody comes up with their own doctrine and so forth. I was talking to a couple of guys at work yesterday, a couple of them that work for me, and they were, you know, they asked some questions, you know, and they're good people, and, you know, both of them have things out of the Scripture that they hold to and believe, you know, but maybe ignore other things.
Right.
Maybe they don't know that they're ignoring it. And so, you know, this one fellow, he said, well, you know, the Bible says, whosoever believeth, that's it. And I said, well, do you really believe? And if you really believe, won't it make a difference and you change your life? Said, it's a new birth. And if it's a new, something's born, can you unbirth it? You know, so I was speaking that in the Christian experience, there's a place you can get in God where it's irreversible.
Yeah.
And so, you grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption, not until you mess up or until the next revival or whatever. So I was kind of sharing it, but they, you know, well, it just says, yeah, but it also says, and it also says. And so the whole thing is that you have to take all the scriptures, and when it all comes out and it all meshes together, then you know you're where you need to be in it. And so they just have to come to the place where, and it's kind of funny, the guy that was saying that, well, it says, you know, he had just told me that he had a conversation with somebody else he worked with years ago, and he asked this guy, he said, now wait a minute, do you believe that the entire Bible, from cover to cover, is the Word of God? And this other fellow said, well, some of it is. And he said, I told him, you and I have no other conversations we can have, because if you don't believe that whole Bible is God's Word, we don't need to talk. And then yet, he was saying, well, it says this, and what about all this other stuff? See, Brother Evans said, every denomination got off the Word. And every one of us will get off unless we have an absolute. And that is this Word, the Word of God, that God has brought us in this hour. I can't stress that enough, that it should be what we're all about. We should look at everything through the eyes of the vindicated Word and the truth of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the Scripture says that the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth, and He'll show you things to come. And it talks about it'll bring to remembrance the things that the Lord Jesus said that I've told you. And, you know, I've explained to you that when you read the Bible and you listen to sermons, that gives the Holy Spirit right that as you go in life, at any moment, He can come and bring to your remembrance what you read and what you've heard, because that's the voice of God speaking. So when Jesus said He'll come and He'll remind you of the things I've told you, right? So if you want to be able to be inspired in times and trials and things come along, read the Word, pray, listen to the sermons, and that gives the Holy Spirit right to quicken those things to you when you need it. And so I've said times when I hear Brother Bram say something, I'm like, I don't know, and I'd put it up on the shelf and say, well, you know, maybe someday. And God would take that off the shelf and reveal it to me. And when He did it, it was not a scripture that I would have ever thought could have been used to make that clear to me. But He made it clear to me by His own way. And so that's the whole thing. The Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you, teach you, and everything. Have fellowship with you, be a comforter, and all those things based upon what? The Word. Because that's your absolute. And so, I'm going to say this. I've noticed this for a long, long time, years and years. And maybe Brother Daniel might say this happens for him too. But I can listen to a sermon, be driving, working, outside, whatever I'm doing. I can listen to a sermon. And let's say 2 or 3 days later, I listen to that sermon again. And there will be comments that Brother Branham makes in that sermon that when he says it, I remember exactly where I was at when I heard it 2 days later and what I was doing. Amen. Is that right, brother?
Amen.
And I was thinking of that today because it happened today. And I was thinking, you know what? That right there, at judgment seat, that connection right there, when the Word is spoken, when people on judgment come before the Word of God, they're going to know exactly what their attitude was back when that came across their pathway in life.
Right.
Right? For we as believers, you know, I'm rejoicing that. I remember exactly where I was. I can come in and start a message where I'd left off, And I remember where I was 2 days ago when I was listening to the same message at that same spot.
Yeah.
I don't know. God just does that. It's not me. But I'm just saying that the exposure to the Word, there's accountability going on there. There's something that goes on in the spirit realm there that's with that. And people are going to be standing someday before God as a judge. And their attitude back on earth is going to be right there with them when that Word comes across their path again.
Yeah.
See, and for us as believers, this happens out because we're, you know, you can, I don't know, it's just amazing how God does things like that. Somebody can, you know, ask you and you quote a scripture and you know exactly where it is in your Bible, what page, what section of the Bible. If it's the left page, right page, top, bottom, whatever. And you can say, well, that's just memory. Well, I don't know, because I don't remember things that well sometimes.
Yeah.
But the point is that if you're tied to the absolute, God can quicken any part of His Word to you at any time.
Yeah.
When you're tied to that becomes your ultimate. This is the center of our life, is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes our absolute. Amen. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so, I'll end by saying this, that Brother Branham, when he went down there to Houston and had those little prayer meetings, talked to those people, and they were able to convince them not to put the young people to death, however many it was. I don't know if it was one or two or whatever. They did not execute them. Amen? There has to be a reason why the Brother Branham chose that. For that particular case and that particular thing that was going on, because it fit. Because in times of desperation, you need something you can go to that's way beyond anything else that man could ever offer or anything like that. So we believe that. Let's just pray for our Lord. As we end this service now, we just pray, God, that the words that I've shared, that your children, Lord, will be inspired to have an absolute in their life. And may that absolute be your Word. Lord, we pronounce your blessings upon them as they go, that they will remember these things. Lord, they've heard it tonight. And I pray, God, that you would just bring it to remembrance as they have need of it. We love you, Lord. We appreciate these little times of gathering where we can just look over your Word. And we appreciate each and every time that you provide for us. We love you, Lord. We just commit this into your hands now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me love
him.
I'm not gifted to be an instantaneous song leader. But anyway, 489. We'll sing this as we go. This is the desire of our hearts.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all.
Thank you.